If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
Esteemed host,
Jim Fisher. The straps would be great because I can take shits. Pisses too, because pisses will be deflected down on toward my feet.
And Tyler Fox.
Stupidest fucking conversation.
That's what I'm doing later today, man.
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 281 of Suplex City Limits, recorded August 29th, 2020. Puff, puff, pass, it's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious, and he is the original Canadian Destroyer, my co-host.
You goddamn right, I'm the original Canadian Destroyer. Tyler's not here, this is Stu. I stretched that pudgy fuck till he cried.
You've been doing so much fucking Stu this week on the Federation. You've just been taken over by Stu.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I go to sleep, I wake up. My back is bad. I feel like my asshole's been stretched out. I think the demon of Stu is haunting me for making too much fun of him over the last 5 days.
There you go.
I swear to God, if I ever run into somebody from the Hearts, they will kill me.
They fucking might. Suplex City Limits, available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You can follow and interact with me on Twitter at Suplex City Limit. You can follow and interact with Tyler at The Federation. If you dig the show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. You can also donate on our Patreon. Become a producer. Get yourself a shout out like Bad Motherfuckers, The Roach Killer, Fat Chick Thriller, Chris Savage, Scotty the Body, Too Hottie, Chris, he's not balding Spalding, Lord LPH, LaShawn Patrick Hamilton, Scary Terry Ansel, Evil Evan, Caleb, you should see the size of his organ field, Morganfield, Lucas Gucci Balducci, Plain Vanilla Martin Corns, Smack It Down Podcast, check them out everywhere. Podcasts are found for wrestling coverage with cool Australian accents. Mike, the Ms. Guy Norris, B-Rad Brad, the Ricerone Jabroni, Ty Loney, Jumpin' Jeremy Foltz, the Ms. Cast, Kick-Ass Keith Martin, and of course, C-Money. The Patreon legend, C-Money.
Yep, been there since day one.
I don't know if he, like I said before, I don't know if he listens anymore, maybe. Just don't tell him that he still pays us money every month.
Yeah, he probably just forgot.
That's
like,
good.
I remember seeing the name C-Money around, like when you guys first started and stuff like that. I remember the handle. I remember everything. But yeah, no, he's literally fallen off. Is he still alive?
Yeah. He's friends with me on Facebook. He's alive.
Are you sure?
You know, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I see him post on Facebook here and there, okay. I think.
It's not a bot?
He's not a bot. That'd be the best. It'll be like 25 years from now, and I still collect money from C-Money every month.
Yeah, he's like the mythical fucking Patreon fairy.
That's great, man. This week on the show, we have waked. We have baked. We're still baking.
Currently baking.
You can tell from the coughs, he is
in progress. I am.
So the only thing left to do is talk about the week in wrestling. This week on the show, we got the top three, bunch of news, results from some shows, talking SummerSlam, all kinds of shit. So,
SummerSlam.
Let's kick this motherfucker off as we do every week with this week's SCL top three.
Suplex City Limits
top three.
Three. Suplex City Limits top three, a top three matches of the week. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. Start off with the Gauntlet Clusterfuck. AEW. The
Gauntlet Clusterfuck. I like how you put it that way. I really do.
Somebody, I forget who. I apologize. Shout out to you. They're like they listen to the show. They're like, no, this is how the Gauntlet works. It's not really that confusing. Like, oh. Well, it is when you're fucking baked to the tits for 10 hours watching it and then not really paying attention, you know.
Jim, I think your problem was you watched it for 10 hours. What were you watching?
No, I was baked for like 10 hours.
I know. I was just being a dickhead.
and I was probably on Instagram looking at like wrestling women's tits and shit.
I mean, why not, right? Like isn't that what Instagram's for? It's fake porn.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Yeah, that's what you do. You go to Instagram and you post pictures as close to naked as you possibly can.
Yeah, yeah. You like the rim of the areola slips out.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. The only thing I do once a week is post a show there, with that week's graphic. The only reason I started an Instagram was to look at fucking scantily clad women. Like Natalia's fucking sister, who is surprisingly really hot.
I know, Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
John. Exactly. I'm not a pro wrestler, Jenny, but I know how to love.
I don't taste like cigarettes, Jenny.
She used to be like chubbier, but now she's really hot.
Yeah, that's
when Big E liked her. I liked her when she was chubby too. I mean,
that's when Big E liked her. On Total Divas. He was all up in her guts. I'm sure he was just...
I'm sure he blacked her, yeah.
But you know what I wish I could black out?
What's that?
The Natural Nightmares.
Dude, what a fucking nothing thing. I mean, I guess it serves its purpose.
Yeah, to get beat. But it
makes QT Marshall, who's already looks pretty stupid. You know, for the first time I saw this guy, I'm like, what's his fucking deal?
Yeah.
Dude, like, he just fucks up every match. He loses every match for them. He gets pinned every match. It's like, what a fucking dumb shit this guy is.
Yeah, he can't even, like, now he's got Allie, who he can't see is blindly taking him for whatever he's worth. I don't know. Like,
That's it. What's right. What reasoning? Is her motivation?
Yeah, what's her reasoning for being there? I don't really get it. And now the Nightmare family is really going to fall off the face of Earth, don't you think? Cody's not around for a while. What are you going to do? Was Dustin going to become the leader? QT Marshall's not going to become the leader. God forbid if Brandy becomes the leader.
You know who it's going to be.
It's going to be Brandy. I know. And it's sickening. Like, I've never been the one that really shits on Brandy because, like, I just see her as a manager. I ignore her as a wrestler. You know, ignorance. You know what I mean? But like, oh God, this is horrible.
Yeah. Ignoring all the shortcomings of a woman because she's hot, men since the dawn of time.
But luckily in this match, the Natural Nightmares don't last a hell of a long time. They get beaten by the Young Bucks, who then move on to have the match against the Best Friends. Yeah. I mean, I seen Page what was
holds
coming.
The leg, eliminating the Bucks.
I knew it was coming. You know, like last week they had hinted that, hey, you know, you should probably stop the Young Bucks from winning. And it's like, yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're not going to ignore it and just not. There was no reason that happened.
Yeah, it's good shit.
It is.
So, Hangman. You know, I don't know what, I guess he's a heel now. I suppose it's a heel turn.
It's hard to say because he looked really guilty. FTR
and somebody else to have some kind of a faction, that could be dope.
Because there's been that rumor of the Four Horsemen, the AEW Four Horsemen kind of deal. And it fits, you know, like FTR, Hangman. I would imagine there's going to be somebody like Cody. You know what I mean? Like, I do expect it to happen.
He's supposed to be gone for a while, though.
I imagine, though, that's how he returns.
Filming some show or something.
Yeah, it's heels, not the women's party place thing. Some fucking TV show with Stephen Amell.
Yeah, that's super creative naming then she came up with, huh?
Heels?
it's like, what if we call this thing, like, same thing as that? What is heels? Some show with Stephen Amell, you said?
Yeah. Apparently. I've never seen it. But yeah.
I've never fucking heard of it.
Yeah, I know. No.
But, well, there you go. So,
FTR
ended up being in the end, get the shot. So, that'll be it. Why, though, does he prefer that versus the Bucks?
Because they got Hangman in their back pocket.
I know, but like, why would Hangman rather have FTR? To have a match against the FTR?
Well, they explained
than against
it.
The Bucks.
They explained it last week with FTR telling them that you've worked all this time to be better than the Young Bucks. You've been in their shadow for years. Now you're finally the tag team champions. You've beaten the Young Bucks. You've proven you're better. If the Young Bucks win this tag team gauntlet and they go ahead to face you at All Out and they beat you, then guess what, Hangman? You're back at the exact same spot you were before. You're in the Young Bucks shadow, and you got to do this all over again. So he chose to go against
FTR.
It's
a nice try.
It works for me.
I mean, I guess, but yeah, then it's like you also have to now face FTR, so.
Yeah, but he was going to have to face somebody anyways. So now he's got to. You got to think about it this way now. Hangman Page is a drunk. So he's highly emotional, obviously. But really, though, like I'm being completely serious. I'm not even trying to be funny. He's a drunk. So like he's emotional. He's emotionally unstable. You can tell when he held the leg for Matt. It was the remorse. There was remorse on his face. He portrayed a look of guilt and sadness of what he'd done because you could tell in his eyes whether he was either stoned. Or he was going to cry. One of the two. And he's a drunk, so I don't think he's stoned.
I don't suggest mixing those two.
I've never had a problem, other than the pasty mouth.
Oh, dude. You get it. I'm baked and like then drink. I'm a fucking dead.
Really?
Yeah, dude. You're going to pull it up. Pull up our most recent sound drop. That's me.
Sorry, I was getting
you
a drink
guys
of water.
Want to go see a dead body?
I was dumping my pipe. That's fucking
the
me.
I was getting the dead body out of the trunk there, guys. Sorry.
But yeah, this was a good match.
It was fun. It was. I thought that Chucky had a good showing in this match, actually.
Yeah. So we'll go back. We'll double back around here, and I guess talk about other AEW shit that happened, but. This is the rest of the matches on here are from the, did you see the name for this thing?
Summer
D4 DJ Groovy Mix presents Summer Struggle in Jinju.
Jinju. Sounds like
Jingu. No, it's Jingu.
Sounds like a drink. A Japanese drink. Yeah. Jingu, like kombucha.
So we'll go with Hiromu Takahashi, Taiji Ishimori. Dude. 13 minutes, man. I was like, very nice. Way to keep it restrained.
Thank you.
Really
Thank
good you. Match. Nothing blow away.
No.
But good. Takahashi reclaims or becomes the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. They flipped a ton of shit on this show. Spoiler alert, by the way. If you don't want more New Japan spoilers, skip ahead. Or
now, was it Takahashi that won the title or was it Ishimori? I thought it was Ishimori.
It was. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I watched the fucking match. Bait. Sorry.
It's okay, Jim. It's allowed.
You don't listen to this show for professionalism.
No, you listen to this show because you want to feel better about your own life.
I actually have no idea why people would listen to this show, but they do, and thanks for that. Ishimori, I'm sorry, becomes the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Good shit.
Yeah, I mean, we've always
won by submission. I thought that was weird. He won with the S lock.
We've always been a big fan of Ishimori on this show ever since his debut in New Japan.
I mean, ever since he was doing shit in Impact when he was still with Noah.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. Like this guy, looks like a fucking statue. He's badass. Man.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's got muscles on top of muscles. That's for sure.
Yeah, that dude's got. I was like, how many abs? He's gonna, I don't even know if it's possible to have that many abs.
12?
And the match of the week, Shingo Takagi, Minoru Suzuki, for the Never Openweight Championship. It is exactly what you think it is.
Of course.
Like, oh, I wonder what that'll be. Yeah. Just two dudes beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, you know, like, you got two guys that hit fucking hard. You know what I mean? You got Suzuki, who tells wonderful stories in the ring each time. I might not get a chance to say it, but, like, Jim, have you watched the new Super Eye Patch Wolf video on heels and wrestling?
I know.
No? He did one, and there's a great piece on Suzuki. It's so good. You got to watch it. It's like 38
Super
minutes
Eye
long.
Patch Wolf?
Yeah, they're the ones that did the... he's done a couple wrestling videos now. They're both, all of them are just super well done. He also did the Rise and Fall of Simpsons, which is a great video. It just talks about how and where Simpsons really fell off and a theory behind it and stuff like that.
He didn't do that video about
storytelling
about Triple H, did he?
No, that's Max Landis. No, he's a
did he
shit.
Do that one about
he's the one
whatever.
That, he did the Kenny and Okada one, not Showbuckle version.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think you've seen a video of his before. I know.
Yeah,
that.
I'm pretty sure.
But
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I've tweeted it out there. Go to my Twitter at the Federation and you'll find it there.
Pretty and it's new?
Yeah, it came out like last week.
Son of a bitch. Well, there you go. To check that out. But yeah, this is great. Two dudes beat the fuck out of each other. Suzuki becomes the new Neverweight champion.
Yeah, I mean, Suzuki's everybody's favorite. You know what I mean? How can you not go wrong with this?
It's the best. Also point out that this show was outdoors at a fucking baseball diamond, which was weird.
It was a cool looking arena.
You don't see a lot of
arena,
New Japan outside.
You don't. I thought it was cool looking. They had some fireworks and everything. It was pretty cool.
They had 4,700 people there, so that's as much as they are allowed. Oh, they had.
Not bad.
Yeah. Pretty good shit. So that is this week's top three. Other things, let's keep with this New Japan here while we're here. I don't know what else there's. I mean, to talk about the main event, but Master Wato beat Kanemaru to open the show.
Kanemaru?
The Master Wato thing is just... I just get a kick out of kind of watching what's going on with
it. I can't take it seriously. I really can't.
Yeah. Dude, Toriyano wins the fucking King of Pro Wrestling.
What?
So, yeah. He won the No Time Limit King of Pro Wrestling four-way main event.
Well,
he beat Ziz. Yeah, he beat El Desperado. And fucking Okada and Sonata. Yeah.
It gets
with a schoolboy like, on Okada.
It gets so much worse
as
you go on. Yeah. Like it's comical when you say Toriyano won the King of Pro Wrestling. And then as you go on and you start to say El Desperado was also in the match, as well as Sonata and Okada. In which he pinned. And it's like, wow.
Although with a schoolboy. So there's that. But the big news coming out of the show, Tetsuya Naito defeats Evil to become the heavyweight and intercontinental champion once again. I guess, you know, this whole COVID thing kind of fucked up whatever the plan was for Evil. So... Which is fine with me, because fuck this Evil double championship.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. He's like, Evil is a really great wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, he can put on some fine matches. But outside of that, I don't see Evil as much else. You know what I mean? Like, I can't sit down and just watch wrestling of guys that wrestle. You know what I mean? You gotta have more. There's gotta be some kind of character, some kind of something going on for me to actually.
I think it's high time for him to do something completely different.
Yes, completely.
You know,
completely.
Or and, just, he needs to change it up. He can still be Evil, you know, whatever the deal is, but he needs some, just something, man.
Get rid of that Prince of Darkness bullshit. Like, he's not that menacing character where you fear him, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. He looks like just another dude with colorful hair, you know. But he started his change a little bit. You could tell, like, since he's joined the Bullet Club, you know, gone is that gaudy gothic robe. You know what I mean? You don't see the huge sigh as much. Are the holograms even still there?
I don't know.
Because, like, he had every gimmick, right? Like, you whatever you can name, he took something. You know those things on Facebook or Twitter where it's like, you've got $200. Pick one from each column to make your whatever.
Yeah, to make your pro wrestling gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what Evil did. You know what I mean? He just, like, spent $25 to get, you know, the basic of everything.
Fucking Halloween costume, sore side.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you, fucking deaf? Speaking of death, I didn't mention it at the open of the show, but it's a spoiler-free discussion about Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yes, I fucking love it.
You Can't Kill David Arquette as well, we both watched.
Yeah, yeah. We've a busy Friday night. It was a great Friday. I ordered some popcorn on Skip the Dishes from the Cineplex, and I watched movies all night. What the
fuck? You ordered popcorn from the movie theater for delivery?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, you just go to the store and get a thing of fucking microwave popcorn.
Because it's not the same.
How much did that cost?
I think it was $10.
It's like $900.
No. No, it was like $10, I think.
Because, like, popcorn at the movie theater is already fucking so absurdly priced.
Like, literally, it's $5 for popcorn upgraded to a large, and it's $7. And then the delivery fee was something like $3. And then I did a tip of $2. So $11.
It's fucking rich, man. What a fucking world we live in, huh?
I know.
Order popcorn from the movie theater for delivery.
You can even order a rental through there, like a Cineplex store rental. I've done that before, where it's like, if you spend $20, you get the delivery for free. So I was like $15, and I wanted to get the free delivery, so I added the rental and essentially got a free rental. You know what I mean? It was like, that's pretty dope. No.
That is fucking sweet. We don't need movie theaters, dude.
No, no. You give me Bill and Ted on demand and I'll fucking watch it. Happily.
Yeah, dude. I just don't think... Some people love that experience. I hate theaters. I hate people.
Yeah.
I hate those chairs. Like, last time I went and saw a movie with the lady, like, I thought I was going to fucking die sitting in this chair. I'm like, to the point where, like, my whole body's practically off the chair. I'm just laying in the most fucked up positions. Like, oh my God. Me, this fuck. It was like being fucking
tortured,
waterboarded for me.
I
got everything at home, dude. I got a big TV. I've got surround sound. Plus, I can pause when I need to go take a shit. Get out of here, man. The fucking theater's bullshit.
There are times that, like, it's nice. Like, I'll go to a movie at, like, the end of its cycle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when everybody's gone and seen it, I'll go and I'll buy my ticket online and I'll order the seat, like the front row seat or like the middle row seats. They're perfectly like the ones you want to sit at, because they're even bigger seats in the theater in our town, where it's like they're more recliner seats and you can reserve them.
Yeah. Dude, I think that's where the theater business is going to go. I think it's that a more high-end experience is where it's going
to
be in the future. Because, dude, I'll go then if I can get, like, a fucking dope recliner to sit in.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah, dude.
For sure.
But like, these bullshit chairs are like, fuck you.
Now, like, what I will... Post-COVID, I'll never be able to look at those chairs and not clean them before I sat down, though.
Yeah. Well, dude... Being completely fucking ruined mentally by this whole thing is a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around people fucking ever again, I don't think. I don't know.
Can you imagine how many germaphobes were born? You get so used to,
like, not being around people and worrying about being around people. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll become a recluse society after this.
Yeah, already kind of am. But yeah, that's pretty much everything from New Japan. Good shit. Check out the show if you didn't. But what else we talk about here? Talk about AEW. What were the other big points about AEW?
Well, you know, it was a kind of a meandering episode of AEW. I thought like it had some cool bits, but you know, between the high spots, there was really nothing else going on. Like they did this little Darby Allin video where at least they want you to think he jumped. I don't know. Did he jump off the bridge? I don't know. Like, I start to become skeptical when they cut it off before he hits the water.
Oh, I don't know if he did or not.
You know what I mean?
He might have, dude. He's fucking crazy.
Exactly. Well, that's where I doubt myself in thinking it. But, like, when you edit it and you don't have him hit the water, it's like, to me, it's like, well, why wouldn't you show, like, this like, a visual, you know, I just, why cut it off there? But, no, whether or not he did it anyways, the video did what it did. But Sean Maluda makes his AEW debut.
Dude. The fucking genetically failed Uso brother who was locked in the basement, chained up and fed moldy pancakes under the door.
Sean fucking Maluda.
Sean fucking Maluda. What is this guy's like real aspiration in pro wrestling? I've never seen that guy win a match against anybody ever.
I really don't think I have either. I think he's hit his peak with the Cruiserweight Classic, really.
Where they kind of treated him like he was something.
Yeah. And then he's not really much. But luckily, Archer just fucking beat the piss out of him. And if there's one man on this earth that I could watch do a squash match from now till the day I die, it's Lance Archer. Like, he's great.
This was a fucking tremendous squash match, dude. Actually.
It really was. It really, like, Maluda, props to him for making all of this look killer. You know what I mean? Like it had murdered him.
All this really, you know, made me think is that it reaffirms to me that it should have been Lance Archer and not Brody Lee. If someone's going to come out there and crush Cody Rhodes and become the champion, it should have been Lance Archer.
I can get behind that. I can get behind that. Now,
just should have been, man.
It would work.
Take it off Cody, beat the fuck, kill everybody for the next how many ever months, and then eventually Cody can come back, a new refocused Rocky Balboa style Cody Rhodes, come back and fucking beat Archer and reclaim the championship.
Yeah. No, you're completely right about that. Now, with that being said, too, I really like what Broly Lee did this episode. I thought his promo was good. He's a captivating talker. I listened. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but I was a fan. I don't know.
A little too yelly for me, man. A little too screamy.
Yeah. I did.
Like if he didn't scream so much, it would be a lot better.
You know what I said to Travis when we were watching this? I said he cuts a promo like he's the grandfather from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. He is a little screamy. You're right. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Jericho had a Lebowski reference right early on in the show. That was tremendous.
Did he? What was it? I missed it.
Someone said something. I think like Ross called somebody a lady friend. He's not a special lady friend, just a lady friend. Nice, dude. There's that. What else we have? I hate fucking contract signings, but this one was good.
Yeah.
Whenever they do it, it is actually good, but I still hate it.
Well, yeah, because like they're not going to fall into the trope because they know that's what everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting for them to fall into the tropes that they have and everybody else have made fun of over the last, 10, 15, 20 years.
People, I say, with MJF, too, they're like, oh, he can't be a real heel because you like him. Everybody likes him. Fuck him. Real heel heat for putting in Onita with these other guys. It's John Danzig.
Yeah.
Alongside of Onita, I was like, you son of a whore.
Yeah. I can understand Sandman. Sandman is the epitome in my opinion, of like the garbage wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sandman does nothing.
He's the Hulk Hogan of garbage wrestling.
He is. He really is. He is an entrance. He is real America. You know what I mean? And Zandig, he's only famous for Jesus and almost taking Joey Janela out with him on the roof bump. That's what Zandig is famous for. But like Onita. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I thought it was great to do it. I was like, you son of a bitch, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I worried right at the end where they, you know, they do the MJF like, oh, we got him. We did something to this contract. And I'm like, oh, no, don't make him look stupid. And then turns out that, of course, Moxley has something in there, you know, to have a match with the manager. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. WWE wouldn't have done that. They would have fucked him, made him look like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? MJF would have got him on some fucking step, and I'm like, oh, that's just stupid.
Yeah, because I'm sure that what was in the contract was that he couldn't do the paradigm shift, right? Like, that's what it was, right? And they were alluding to that the whole time that's in the contract. So like, it's not like it was unknown to everybody. I'm sure the character of Moxley knew going in that was going to be in the contract. But yeah, no, again, too, this guy, the manager, is such a great character. I'm really intrigued to see him in a match. Like, he's really a wrestler?
Yeah, he is. I'm a fucking idiot. I thought I took a screenshot of in the group, B-Rad Brad was talking about it. He explained who the guy is and whatever. He is a wrestler.
So. Of course B-Rad Brad knows.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought I screenshotted it, but I don't know.
It's okay, Jim. It's okay.
When you're baked all the time, life is full of all kinds of surprises. The world is so one big surprise waiting for you to stumble upon it.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I have it right here. That's what
you do.
That's dumb why. Fuck I am. He is a smart Mark Sterling. He's a trainer and wrestler out of Creative Pro, which is the school that Brian Myers owns.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, fuck, trained MJF, Statlander, John Silver, Alex Reynolds. He's Alex Reynolds' manager on the indies.
Really? Okay. Okay. Well, I mean,
thank you, Brad.
He's the trainer of MJF, so therefore you can see where MJF may have started his chops of promo abilities was from him, because he's a fantastic fucking promo.
That should be great. You know, Moxley is allowed to use the paradigm shift against this guy, so I'm sure he'll fucking spike him into the ground. It'll be a good time.
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. It is really, really dig the Moxley character where it's at now. It doesn't even really try to be a badass. You know, he just doesn't give a fuck. He's just super laid back. It's a fun character, man.
His character is that he's just a cool dude. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I don't know. We saw that new Eddie Kingston group, which desperately needs a name. So I don't have to say all of them. I'm not gonna say all their names. Fuck you. Come up with a group name. They defeated the most random team of all time. Like, if you put a game, if you picked your team, you're like, I'm going to be the Lucha Brothers and Butcher and Blade.
Yeah.
And then just put, like, for your opponents, just hit random. You would get Griff Garris and Brian Pillman Jr., Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. Holy fuck.
Now, mind you, Pillman Jr. and Garrison are a tag team on Dark, and Janela and Kiss have had those vignettes, but really nothing much other than that.
I was really into that.
Yeah, I don't know what they. I don't know if it's just been relegated to Dark or not. I don't know. I really don't know.
So I kind of walked away. I think I went to the bathroom or went to get a fucking bomb pop or something. Probably get a bomb pop from the freezer.
What's a bomb pop?
Or it's like a rocket pop. I think they're called bomb pops too. It's like a popsicle shaped like a rocket. Kind of, but it's like red, white, and blue.
I know what those are. Those are delicious.
Yeah. Anyway. And I came back and there was, like, talking about fucking lawnmowers and showing lawnmowers.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you know what the fuck this was? Is this a sponsorship thing?
I don't know if it's a sponsorship deal per se, but so again, it's horrible that I need to explain this. You know what I mean?
This is from the fucking dark.
This is from being the elite. Really?
That's what I mean, from being the elite.
And that it's a shame that I need to explain this because they should be telling these stories better. Obviously they're trying to drive more people to go watch Being the Elite, but that's not what you should be doing. That's not where this needs to go. You should have this storytelling happen on Dark if you're going to do it at all.
Admittedly, I walked out of the room and then came back and I'm like, what the fucking lawnmower?
I don't think you would know anyways, though. If you didn't watch Being the Elite, I don't think there's a way you would even fucking know. Because they got these lawnmowers out there and there's a casket, okay? In the Dark Order. The casket ends up being somebody from the Dark Order was in the casket. Was it Stu Grayson or something like that? With Cody's face of Cody on his face or whatever. He comes out. But this is all because on Being the Elite, they come in with some chilies to celebrate that Mr. Brody Lee has won the title. John Silver.
Like baby
Alex
back ribs?
Yeah, like bags of chilies, okay. Right? We got chilies, right? Yeah. And they all start dancing. Brody Lee starts shouting like Stan Hansen. He's super excited. He's got some chilies. And then they talk about their chilies money, right? That they got from the sponsorship. Okay. And then this is like, it's really nonchalant at the end where Brody Lee is like, you know what I'm going to spend my money on? 5 ride-on lawnmowers. And they just go to the next segment. And
is it all of them riding on riding them?
No.
Why wouldn't you do that?
He says he's going to buy.
If it cut from that to like 5 of them in a V formation with Brody out front, like a fucking motorcycle game. Yeah,
but he doesn't. He doesn't let John Silver ride a lawnmower though, because John Silver's a piece of shit. Right.
Okay. I get that. But if you're just watching this on TV, you know what it looks like? It looks fucking stupid because you have no idea.
100%.
I mean, in general, that's pretty fucking stupid. But
it is. It is still.
When you have no background, it's like. And then it's the Dark Order who already no one really gives a fuck about. And then you just do dumb shit with it. Like, oh, they all have lawnmowers for some reason. You know, it's just very confusing. And. I don't know, dude. I just thought it was really fucking bad.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And it's a shame, like I said, that I had to explain this because they shouldn't be doing this type of storytelling here. Like, through BTE and with this, it is very zany. You know what I mean?
It's got to be some kind of a deal with Snapper or something. I think those are Snappers. Maybe. They're just like... We're going to show these fucking things in our YouTube video, and then we'll put them on the show and, you know, for X amount of money or something. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them. They let a fucking asshole from State Farm sit in on commentary for a match.
That's very true. And you know what? At this point in time in the game, you got to find creative ways to make money. You know what I mean? Like, you're not making any revenue off of much ticket sales. You know, you're not doing anything like that, so... They got to try to find a way to make money. It's a shame that if this is it, then you can find a better way of doing it.
And ended up looking at Dark Order. I don't know if they announced the match, but Scorpio Sky and Cordona and Nightmare Family and all that shit. Dude, did you watch this women's match?
Jim.
You guys want to go see a dead body? You guys want to go see a dead body? You guys want to go see a dead body? You guys want to go see a dead body? You guys want to go see a dead body? You guys want to go see a dead body? Go see a dead body? Go see a dead body? Go see a dead body?
It was fucking horrible.
It was garbage. It was hot garbage, man. It was fucking hot garbage.
Yeah, really fucking bad. Really fucking bad. And I don't know if Reba's trying to play up being worse than she is. He was like, yeah, you know, you don't wrestle, so you're going to be terrible. She's like, oh, so I should act terrible. Like, well, I mean, actually, you probably just try your hardest. Yeah. And that might be the level of terrible we're looking for, actually.
So true. She's horrible, though. She really is.
What a pile of shit. After the match, Evil Uno comes out and gives Taya Conte a join us envelope. Yeah. And Taya Conte, it's like, this chick is fucking worthless, man. Like, she's worthless. She fucked this whole segment up. It's really nothing. Did. It's like, what do? You grab it, and I mean, I don't know if she was supposed to join on the spot. She doesn't open it. She like grabs it and kind of holds it, and she's just so fucking awkward. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. When she first looked at it, and she did the whole "let me touch my chin" think. I was like, "Really, bitch? Dude, really, bitch? That's what you're going to do?"
She didn't even open it. She didn't even open it.
Then,
you know, it's like,
then she looks at Anna Jay, who was her tag team partner, gives her a big smile and a big hug. So you're like, "Oh, did she join?" And then she goes back and she just starts thinking again. It's like, bitch, make your fucking what the fuck are you doing?
It's really bad. I mean, you're like, you didn't even open it up. It's like, you don't know what it says in there. Yeah. You know, you could have just agreed to.
One can assume.
Get, like going to run trains on you all day.
Yeah, you know? Anna Jay is just recruiting you.
That'd be the cult. Life, dude. If joining the Dark Order was like cruising around on riding lawnmowers and then fucking getting in line. Banging Taya Conti and shit, that'd be good. I'd join.
Anybody got that phone number?
Riding mowers, riding Brazilian chicks. That's good shit. I mean, that Anna Jay is 99 because everybody's got a number, right?
So. She's 99. She's Gretzky. So. Like,
I guess.
Yeah. She's Wayne Gretzky. What the fuck? Yeah. Like, I can get Paulina Gretzky, but...
I need three numbers, at least, to be able to do anything.
666?
You got the 6666, 333, I also like, you know.
There you go, there you go.
You got your fucking area code. That's always a good thing you can go with. you know, you can go with the classic 420.
You could. You could.
But with two, it's like, what do you do, man? You know, I usually just go like 33 because that's fucking
Patrick Waugh.
Larry Bird. That's Scottie Pippen.
It's fucking Patrick Waugh. That's who it is.
I guess you go 23 and go Jordan style.
You could.
Anyway.
23 is a little too obvious, though, don't you think? Like, if you're going to pick a number, you kind of want to pick a number, in my opinion, that could be many people. You know what I mean? Like, if you go number, this is always going to be hockey references because I don't know anything else. If you go with number 35, 35 is like every team has had a goalie that was number 35. Everybody. 35 is
this is
going to
be
number.
About a hockey because I don't know about anything else.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I don't watch enough. Like, I'm privy to a lot of basketball, but I don't watch, I didn't watch a lot in the past. Football, I don't fucking care to the world about. Like, you ask me a question with football, and you know what my answer is? There is no answer because I got nothing to say. I don't know. I don't know nothing. So that's about it.
I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. Sammy Guevara defeats Matt Hardy in a table match, and then Orange Cassidy attacks Jericho. I thought it was a good show. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was no show like we've had over the last 5-6 weeks. You know what I mean? There's been a couple spot on shows there, but this was it was enjoyable. You know, it's I'm not going to turn it off.
And then you know with NXT next week they're going to have a big four way. That's going to be something else, man.
Yeah, I think that match is going to be pretty good. Yeah, yeah, four way Iron Man match: Adam Cole, Gargano, Finn Balor, and. Who else is it? Tommaso Ciampa, who's been missing over the last 6-7 months.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. But yeah, Karrion Kross becomes the champion, has to relinquish it, which seems to only really happen in WWE for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's the Performance Center and like how much heavy lifting you're supposed to. And they do say too, you know, like being doing heavy body lifting and shoulders, and like doing heavy lifting in that way, like power lifting, is really bad, detrimental for your shoulders. They become weaker, like the cartilage, and you know what I mean.
Makes you think of Finn Balor,
yep,
becoming the first Universal Champion, never to get even sniff back near that fucking thing. That was it for him.
He would get a shot against AJ Styles there at one point.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was that makeshift match. It was supposed to be the Finn Balor against Abigail, Sister Abigail. You know what I mean? And then Bray Wyatt got the mumps. And then AJ Styles had to fly over from Europe to have a match with him. Remember that?
I fucking wish we'd. What would that have been?
Has that ever come out?
No. What that was supposed to be?
I don't think.
Bray Wyatt and drag? That would have been tremendous.
I would imagine. I'd imagine so. Bray Wyatt. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but I don't know. Iron Man matches, I'm not a huge fan of a 60-minute match like that.
But how many times do you see a four-way? That match
and let it go 60 minutes.
That's true. But you don't see a four-way Iron Man match too often. So at least you got that going for you. You can probably hold off a title or a pin until. Really?
Yeah. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But yeah, I don't know. That's about it. That's it.
Yeah, that's about it for the wrestling.
All right, let's get into it. There were some big stories this week. So let's get into it in this week's news.
This week in the news, Bullet Bob Armstrong passes away and the WWE creates a witness protection program. Over to you, Jim.
Javicious. And this is news to us. Bullet Bob Armstrong passed away this week from cancer. He was 80, so I mean that's a pretty damn good run.
Oh yeah.
Anyone's determination. He's an SCL Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer in any pro wrestling Hall of Fame that means anything. He's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, but my first memory of Bullet Bob, mind you, I'm younger than Jim. So I didn't see him in the 80s or whatever, but I was circling through the TV and I came across Memphis Wrestling. Like at the time, Memphis Wrestling in the 2000s was like Brian Christopher's champ as Grandmaster Sexay, you know, bullshit like that. And there was just this old man there. And I just had no idea who it was. And then over time in TNA, I know, it's so-and-so's father, blah, blah, blah. And, that was the first time I was like this old fart. Go to see, just a legend.
There you go. Yeah, unfortunate. He died of bone cancer. That's a fucking bitch. It's like, what the fuck? Bone cancer.
That's a fucking bitch.
It is. So yeah, my thoughts to the Armstrong family. I'm so terrible at anything, like everything, like. Anyway, dude, this story. Did you see this? Let me just read this headline and get your reaction. Former WWE star Darren Young to debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. That's the last name I would have thought to have seen join New Japan Pro Wrestling of all places.
And New Japan US. So
yeah.
He goes under still his real name.
Fred Rosser.
Fred. What's there's something fucking with that name, dude? What is with the name Fred?
I don't know. I don't, most famous Fred in the world is probably Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. Well, it is according to Jake Roberts. It's a terrible fucking thing he was doing this week. Like, you had, way to reference a cartoon from the fucking 40s.
What did he reference?
50s. When Taz and those guys came out, he was calling them
the Flintstones.
Oh.
He's like, oh, there's Fred and there's Wilma. Like, Jesus, terrible.
Did you see him before they cut to commercial? I don't know if we get like a slightly different feed because like are they always late going to commercial or early going to commercial on the American feed?
Fucking terrible at transitioning in and out of commercials. Okay. I have no idea why.
Well, did you see Jake Roberts after the promo where he just like looked into the crowd and put his fingers into a V up to his tongue and just started fucking simulating cunnilingus? I wonder who he was looking at the front row and if they felt really awkward after.
Well, it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, Jim Ross, like something about take a piss.
Yeah.
And as it was going to commercial, I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know why they can't get it right. The end of the show, too, you'll always hear like a countdown or there's always something with their tech shit. And it's like, how do you guys not get this together yet?
Yeah, they're it's not the most fleshed out thing. There's certain things where it's like, yeah, no, maybe you should.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hopefully.
Mr. No Days Off Fred Rosser.
Is that his name?
Be in action September. Well, I mean, he used to be Mr. No Days Off, you know.
Well, he's had a few recently over the last yeah, few years.
Fucking a lot of them. Mr. All the Day and Every Day Off.
Yeah, Mr. Permanent Vacation, so, Fred Rosser.
I don't know what the fuck.
Part of the graveyard shift players.
Fred Rosser versus TBA. Actually, looks like some good shit on that, though. Kenta versus Jeff Cobb for the United States Championship.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Kenta versus Jeff Cobb?
Wait, the United States Heavyweight Championship right to challenge
contract. Yeah, they've already done that. Kenta won.
Oh, this has happened already.
Yeah, that's happened. Kenta won.
That's what it says. It says September 4th.
Well, Kenta already beat him and challenged Moxley. I watched it. I watched it on TV.
It says, what's the right to challenge contract?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it says here September 11th.
Fair enough.
So, and the other thing is September 4th, so I have no idea.
Way to confuse everybody, New Japan.
Yeah. John Moxley tops the 2020 PWI 500.
Yeah.
And boy, were there a lot of angry NXT fans.
Oh, really? I can imagine people getting all out of arms over the PWI fucking kayfabe.
Every fucking year.
Every year,
whatever it is, these people freak out and we come on here and fucking laugh at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
It doesn't matter.
You know, like, have whatever your top 500 is. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Like, do you have a top 500 wrestlers? I don't.
No, but they have a number one. The one I saw most commonly was Adam Cole. Well, it's like, yeah, if you watch NXT and not AEW, and especially if you don't watch New Japan, then I could see how you would be incorrectly believe that he was the number one wrestler of the year.
Adam Cole hasn't done anything really of note over the last few years. You know what I mean?
That's like, the overwhelming one that people were saying.
Yeah, like he was when he first entered NXT, he was exciting. And they just let that character stay the exact same. Like, there was no evolution in anybody's character in Undisputed Era. Nobody has changed in that program. They have been the same character for about 2 years. Like, Kyle O'Reilly's entrance and persona has not changed an iota. It becomes boring.
Well, he was the longest reigning NXT champion, I guess, during this time. So, but I mean, Moxley leaves WWE on his own accord, no less. Fuck you guys, I'm leaving. Goes to Japan, has great matches in the G1. My match of the year with fucking Ishii. He had a match with Suzuki, becomes the U.S. champion, and gets AEW as the fucking world champion. He's number one this year. You know, like, there's no real debate about it. I mean, in my opinion,
I agree.
Who had a better year than him?
By
the standards of what they use to decide their top, there's just nobody.
No, I can't come up with another top wrestler for sure.
So I think for once PWI got it right. Usually they don't. Usually they pick, like, when they picked Roman Reigns, it was like, dude, yeah. I don't think he had the best year that year either.
No, God, no. Roman Reigns has never been top worker. You know,
just being WWE champion is not enough for me, especially when it's like downtime. But whatever. So, did you hear any of the other ones? Or
no, I don't have a clue who else.
I thought I heard Adam Cole was number two.
I mean, and why not? You know what I mean? Why not? Yeah. But if you want, me to give us a little taste of what our, you know, numbers look like when it comes to top three entrances, because that's how I mean, like, usually it goes along every time that the person who's had the most top three matches usually becomes the winner of our SCL Wrestler of the Year. but
oh, not always. No, I judge that shit more like they do here, you know.
Oh yeah, no, but it's usually been the same though. I'm not saying like it's why it becomes, but it usually coincides mm-hmm. with it. Like last year, I believe we were unanimously Will Ospreay, and that he had so many, or he weren't at least unanimous. I know that there was a couple votes for Will Ospreay, but like we got.
Wait, who's your top, like the top five for this year? Or you have a list of something?
No, I just have like the spreadsheet in front of me. When we were talking about all the matches, I just figured I'd open it up. The top five in singles wrestlers are Omega, Allen, Hangman Page, Cody Rhodes, and Ishii. That's what we got there. But like, that's a lot of COVID-19. Like, this is a year that this could be greatly skewed. You know what I mean?
Well, also, though, in the past, we would sometimes do top 10s. Like, when the top 10 comes out, we'll probably do our own. We usually do. We base that on more what they do. We don't base it on matches of the year.
No.
I would never go and say, like, oh, Ishii's in the top 10 based on, you know, the shit they use. Yeah. There's no way.
But no, no.
This year, for a top five, what do you got? Moxley, in no order. Moxley, Cole. Who else is having, like, big fucking year? Jericho?
Yeah, yeah, and...
Japan has been so fucked. The only person over there you could even say would be like Naito, maybe.
But Naito is even such a shell of his former self. I'd never put him in a top list. I don't think.
I mean, like, who? As far as like, who's having a big year over there? And it's nobody really.
Nobody really. No. Really though.
Because he's the double champion, so that's why I'd go Naito.
Yeah, but they've been gone for so long. You know, there was such a long gap. Like, I'm not even used to New Japan being back yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard to say.
What other stories you got?
Did you see that Roman Reigns debuted on SmackDown last night as a Heyman guy? Are they turning him heel? Fuck.
They're not turning him heel. Well, I don't know. Who cares?
I was like, I really hope he turns into a heel.
I mean, we'll see. People like when he showed up at SummerSlam, which I would briefly touch on at some point here. People like, he turned heel. Like, well, I mean, he attacked a fucking demonic clown who assaulted a woman, and you know, like, yeah. So it doesn't really make him a heel.
No, no, but no. Anyway. God, no. I'm just going along because Paul Heyman's a heel. That's the whole thing that I'm, because he's with Brock Lesnar every time you see Brock. So,
did you see Omega? Showed up on the fucking crowd cameras,
and they tweeted about it. It was like, guys, I was just trying to have fun. I didn't think anybody would notice.
He should have had a fake mustache on. That'd have been awesome.
Oh fuck it! If Kenny Omega didn't get any geekier.
SmackDown.
SmackDown superstar Kenny Omega.
On Monday, I was trying to tweet it out. I was trying to get somebody to take a bong rip on there. But instead of cool shit like that, like bong rips or tits or something, we end up seeing somebody who's like, oh yeah, you know what I should put online? A beheading.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's
stupid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What makes you go right to that? There's also a KKK member on there. A picture of a dude in a clan thing. That's
Benoit. which I thought Benoit, was funny.
Benoit is good fun, though.
Yeah, I thought Benoit was funny because they try so hard to forget Benoit. And it's like, here's Benoit's face on the screen. It's like, fuck yes.
You know, and I think someone did it with the Baby Yoda. And, you know, it's all right. It's pretty fun. Someone needs to get that link and send it to Corny. Because I'd love to see Cornette pop up on there.
That would be great.
He wouldn't be able to figure out how to work it, though.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville. This is Sonya. Why do people say Sonya? Or is it? I don't know what the fuck it is.
Anyway,
who cares? She's had additional threats since her kidnap attempting. So somebody else is now harassing her and telling her that they're going to kill her and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like,
she's a fucking lesbian.
I was
voice.
Just going to say, like, guys,
what's going
like,
on?
Give her a fucking chill. You know, take her off by 10-15%, you know?
She doesn't like dicks, man.
No. Oh, calm the fuck down, man.
I don't get it. I don't get that with anybody, but I especially don't get it with a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Figured
it. Is that part of it? They're just pissed?
Maybe. Maybe they're a little mad that they'll never get that chance. I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, like, you're never going to get that chance anyways.
Yeah. That other guy. Hopefully they never let that fucking guy out.
Oh, man. Like, you shouldn't. But, I mean, like, look up here in Canada, man. A guy went on a Greyhound bus, cut a dude's head off, and started eating him.
Yeah.
And he's on the streets now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's Canada's Canada. Fucking whack for that, though.
I know.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing. But anyway, I have no other news. If you have no other news.
I do actually have a little bit of news.
Okay.
I really popped at this line that Dave Meltzer tried to give out, but he tried to be very coy about it when they were talking about Austin Theory going down to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, well, there's less exposure there. That's why they're sending him down. Less people will see him. And Brian Alvarez could not get it, but Dave Meltzer refused to say it. But what he's hinting at is that NXT is now a witness protection program. Austin Theory was a part of the scandal, so was Dream. And it's like, put him down to NXT. Nobody's going to really see him down there. Right?
let's move these sex offenders around like the Catholic Church.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Fuck. Then also, did you hear that WWE planned on giving Riddick Moss a big push before Corona?
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine what that would have looked like?
They put the 24/7 strap on him, you know?
So. Oh, yeah. Big, big. Filling those Gronk shoes. Yeah.
Riddick Moss. Why? He's fucking terrible.
He is terrible. Absolutely fucking dreadful.
Sometimes the guys that Vince likes randomly is so weird.
Yeah.
SummerSlam, did you watch any of this?
No.
I watched clips. I watched clip format of
Dominic and Seth.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I watched some clips of that. Seen some of work. Dominic was like, yeah, no, I mean, like, he can be a good wrestler. You know, like, I don't really want to see singles matches of his yet, but I mean, whatever. Fuck it.
Exactly what we thought with Bayley and Sasha happened.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I guess people are saying that the Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, I guess it was only 12 minutes, but man, I guess like everyone was saying it's just the fucking worst.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can imagine. I got no
need. It's a piece of shit.
No need to see any of that shit.
Fucking SummerSlam. So I guess here's the point. Maybe we talk of some shit on WWE, even though we don't watch it. Keith Lee debuted on Raw, and we've talked about it. It's like, dude, he is going to be the latest in the line of certainly they can't fuck up. Certainly they can't fuck up Keith
yes,
Lee. Did you see any of this?
Well, let's put it this way. They've changed his music. They've covered his belly. And that's Keith Lee.
And they put him in a skirt.
Did they put him in a skirt?
Pretty much a skirt.
So he's...
I don't know what the fuck he was wearing.
He's headbanger Keith Lee?
Like,
what the fuck?
he comes out. Yeah, they got the new song, which I guess is some CFO deal. I don't fucking understand, but it's shit. And yeah, he had like a hoodie on, but it looks like a skirt, man. Like, you should almost look it up.
Let's see.
Get an idea. Just put in Keith Lee skirt.
Keith Lee skirt. Okay.
Yeah, maybe you'll find some fan art. I guess. It's like Keith Lee with...
Keith Lee responds to criticism over theme. Let's go to images. And I don't see...
They're called the flare shorts.
Flare? Okay. Is it like Samoa Joe's old shorts that he had?
They're worse than that, though, dude. No, they're like, where they're called flare shorts.
He debuted on Raw, right? Skirt. He debuted on Raw, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I actually don't know. I can't even see any pictures of it, actually, when I searched that.
Oh, nope. Got it. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, indeed.
And he comes out with that that hoodie, which looks indie as fuck.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And the skirt. The skirt, dude. That doesn't look like a skirt.
It really does.
It looks really like a tennis does. Skirt.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's got the pink accents. It's just the fucking dumbest thing ever. He's like, wow, bah, 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 bah. It's just fucking dead. Forget it.
Keith Lee is not a promo. You know what I mean? Like,
I screenshot it too, this motherfucker. Were like trying to argue with me on my personal Twitter. And I'm like, this guy will not be on a pay-per-view in 2 months. Oh, you will, I'll bet. I'm like, okay, dude. I'm going to come back in a month or two. I'm going to shit down your fucking throat.
Yeah.
This guy is not on the shows anymore. Just like Ricochet and all these other motherfuckers.
No, 100%. He probably won't be.
So, yeah, that was a fun... deal. I also heard that on Raw they had like a 30-second loop, a crowd loop, which is from the game.
What? Really?
That's what I heard. And there's a little part where you can hear it, like just a tinge of a kid saying Cena. And I guess like it was on a repeat. I don't know. What else we got? Oh, Baszler called Nia Jax Haystacks Calhoun. That was pretty
beautiful.
Good.
I love it.
And this was last week. We forgot to. I wanted to bring it up, but AJ Styles is now with Pepper Parks.
Not Pepper Parks. Pepper Parks.
Well, not is Pepper Blade. Parks. Not Pepper Parks.
It's Abyss.
It's Abyss.
Yeah.
Something Park, isn't it?
Yeah, Joseph Park.
Joseph Park. Pepper Park's that other guy.
Pepper Parks is the Blade in Butcher and Blade.
Yeah, exactly. But they have a name for that thing, and it spells piss. Like their little group or whatever it was, they had a board out, and I guess and the thing was like whatever it's. The name was, it was something, but it was basically, it was piss.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Cause that's fucking, that's funny. You get it?
Cause it's piss.
Also, I just want to go ahead and say, as far as I'm aware, I don't watch Raw, but looking at it, the results here, I don't see anything from the Raw Underground. And remember the first week it debuted, I said that it will be gone by SummerSlam and the week after SummerSlam, there will be none of it. I said that like 4 weeks ago or whatever. And as far as I can tell from these results, I see nothing that would lead me to believe that there was anything to do with Raw Underground on this show.
Yeah, no, I have no idea, honestly. I mean, obviously, I have no idea. I don't watch Raw either.
Yeah, but looking at the results, I don't see anything that would point to being a match from that. But Keith Lee, debuts, he challenges Randy Orton in the most pedestrian, like, stupid fucking way. And then when Drew McIntyre gets involved, he disappears. He disappears. Like, he's gone. Where did he go? Nobody knows.
Okay.
While the stars brawled.
So, before Keith Lee defeated Randy Orton via DQ on this episode of WWE Raw, on Raw Underground, Lashley beat up a guy and choked him out. Dolph Ziggler got in the ring to face Lashley, and the announcers noted that he had a fight scheduled against Ivar later. Ziggler held his own for a while Lashley launched him into the wall. There you go. There was two Raw Underground segments, and Lashley also beat the shit out of Cedric Alexander. And, yeah, the Hurt Business.
These results I have are just like matches, I guess.
Oh.
Well, maybe I wasn't right, but it's on its way out. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, Underground.
Get the fuck out of here. And then this week is Payback, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Like, tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty soon. I'm not going to watch it at all.
I think we joked about it at one point, too. Matt Riddle, like, oh, his first fucking deal will be with King Corbin.
It is.
Yeah. And we joked about that being his first program, and of course it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, what can we say, man?
Keith Lee versus Randy Orton. I assume Randy Orton's going to win.
Yeah.
And they're going to go back to Orton and McIntyre.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. Mysterios versus Rollins and Murphy. Your boy. King Big E and Sheamus. Don't know why.
Is what? King Big E?
Is that Big what you E said? And Sheamus.
I thought you said King Big E. I was like, why are...
Wait, oh, no.
I was like, what? He's a king now?
Bray Wyatt defending the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. It's so fucking like Roman Reigns comes back and he's right back there again.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Fucking still don't like this guy. I still like he comes back and I'm just like, oh, I'm glad I didn't watch it.
I liked him when he like when he was all cancer ridden and stuff, you know, when he was bad as to say, it was like I got behind him then and they completely squandered that.
He is so generally unlikable. He has to be dying of cancer for you to be sympathetic for him.
Well, like I think too that, you know, if they brought him back properly after that, I probably would have gotten behind them, but they didn't.
Well, like what is this? He attacks, you know, he was supposed to have that match with Wyatt, I guess, before he left. So like Adam, no, somewhat Goldberg. Understandable, but he comes back Goldberg. And just like takes him out, takes out Strowman. Like, well, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apollo Crews versus Bobby Lashley for the U.S. Championship. Oh, that whole thing. It's so weird because it's like all the fucking black dudes in one thing. I mean, I guess they got Big E other than that. But I noticed that on there. It seems like always the Hispanic dudes are working with the Hispanic dudes and the black dudes are working with the black dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm just reading too much into that.
I don't think you're reading too much into it at all. This is from a company that was really gung-ho about making the Nation of Domination again. Nothing screams Black Lives Matter like four black dudes going out and causing all hell and being heels. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Let's make these guys heels. Cool.
Bailey and Sasha are defending their tag team championships against the unlikely duo of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. What a pile of shit all of this is.
After Colin or Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah.
That's what Jim thinks of that.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah, fuck. I'm glad I'm not watching Raw. I'm glad I don't watch it at all. Like, there's nothing that I miss.
Yeah. So, dude, the Federation, episode 200.
Yes.
Much stew impressions and much talk gravy talk.
Lots of gravy talk, yeah. You know, lots of turkey talk. When we got to the part in Wrestling with Shadows and fucking Bret Hart takes a turkey out of the oven and gives it to Julie, I just about shit my fucking pants. Because that's been the running joke in the Federation for about a year now. You know what I mean? It's in Bret's book. It's you go out there, download an illegal copy of it and find it. It's fucking fantastic. But it's beautiful stuff. And then Blade drinking gravy. Yeah, no. I prefaced this many times throughout that week that I'm sorry for making so much fun of the Hart family. It's all in good fun. So.
For sure, dude.
But yeah, no, it was a hectic week. I don't ever want to do it again. That's all I want to say about that.
You know, Hitman Week, check it out on the Federation. Like I said, tons of stew, tons of gravy. It's good shit.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, sir.
I think we'll move on here to the kind of relaxed part of the show. A spoiler-free discussion of Bill and Ted's Face the Music.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, but I didn't really require much. You put Bill and Ted for an hour and a half.
You got me.
Like, I'd have been pretty happy with it.
Yeah, 100%. I was weary going into it because I didn't know what to think. You know what I mean? Just like, how many times have they fucked over anything that resembles any kind of feel-good moment I ever want to see? You know, so... I was like, they might do it. I hope they do it, but I'm not gonna hold my breath. And it was perfectly fine. I had a fun time watching it. You know, a bunch of nod backs to people who have seen the other movies.
I don't like the performance of the girl who played Ted's daughter.
Which, like, one?
She fucking annoyed me.
You mean like the black haired girl?
Yeah, Ted's daughter.
I thought she acted just like Ted, so I thought it was fitting. That was...
Something about her delivery I didn't like.
Yeah.
But overall, I think if you're a fan, I was a huge fan of the other movies back in the day, so I was stoked. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked. I mean, this is not a spoiler. I was pretty stoked to see Death.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? I was like, fuck yeah. I like what
they advertised him being part of it. I think he's in the trailer and shit.
Yeah, so. I think so too. So that's why I was saying I don't think it's a spoiler. So, yeah, no, it's very fun. The story is intriguing. Every time that they would go back to the past, I was like, who are they going to get? Who are they going to? I could not wait to see who they were going for. I thought pretty it was good. Fantastic.
Definitely worth checking out. We could talk more in depth about. You can't kill David Arquette. We watched that. That also came out on Friday.
Yeah.
And I actually can't even understate. I thought this was fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. I thought it was really, really good.
It's put together really well. It tells a story you don't expect to, you know what I mean? You're going in thinking, you know, as a wrestling fan, this is going to be the story of David Arquette in wrestling. Well, it's a part of it. But there's so much more to this story that really I had no idea going into this. You know, when he was doing his match with Gage, I didn't know that he had recently had a heart attack and shit like that. You know what I mean? Or I didn't know he was.
I think he was at least one or two of our comeback of the year that year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Because he did have a string of, you know, comparable matches for David Arquette. He made the PWI 500 last year.
Yeah, I thought that shit he did with RJ City, is that his name?
Yeah, RJ City, yeah.
That match was great, man.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that at the time, and I was like, I was really impressed with David Arquette and that. But you get to see a lot, you know, we've been shit on that guy. A lot of people shit on him because that's kind of the narrative, right? Is, oh, yeah, shit on this guy. But we've never really done that here, man.
No.
I don't think he deserves the shit that he gets, and I hope people, you know, a lot of people see it, and I hope it, you know, changes their mind about that, because there's no reason to shit on that dude. It's not his fault, dude.
No, Jim, I think I've asked you this before. If you were in WCW, let's say you were invited there, right? You're not a wrestler. You're like, hey, we're gonna put the title on you tonight. Are you going to say no?
I mean, he tried to kind of talk him out of it, too.
But would you say no, though?
Well, of course not. Yeah,
no, of course. I mean. You're human.
It's like it's not his fault at all, and he loves wrestling. And dude, like, I thought you saw a lot of about him in this show. You know, like, you really learn a lot about him. And like, I just think, like, how can you watch this and not just like the guy? You know,
really though, didn't he? Like, and I don't think they touched on this at all in the movie. But didn't he donate like all of his earnings to like Owen's family or Pillman's family or something?
There's a couple of people. I think all the money he made in WCW, he gave to wrestlers. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so come on, man. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think he's a good-hearted guy, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Deep down, and
despite
you get
his
to
problems.
See like a lot of, I mean, you know, you get to see a lot of shit about this guy's life in there. I thought it was a really good. Wrestling fan or no? You know, I think if you're wrestling fan, but maybe your chick isn't or something like that, but if she's into documentaries, I think you don't have to be a wrestling fan to like this.
No, I don't think so either. It's a documentary that tells a story that hooks you in and you get emotionally. You know what I mean? You become invested with David Arquette. You want to see him do better. You want to see where it goes. And I think it was put together so well to tell that story and bring you on a ride where every time you thought you were getting comfortable with David, here's a new aspect that you didn't know that might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but then they'd win you back. Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I didn't know Luke Perry took him to the hospital, right? When he got his neck sliced by Nick Gage.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I didn't know he was so close to Luke Perry, honestly.
Dude, he gets to the hospital and they take that towel that's around his neck off and it immediately sprays blood out. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I was in bed. Okay. I just gotten super fucking stoned and I just put it on my laptop down. I press play and I laid down in bed and that's what they showed. And I almost had an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, I started feeling uncomfortable. I started fucking like clenching my own chest and stuff like that. Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Dude, tell me something about Rick Kelly.
Holy fuck. The van driver?
What is it? This Uncle Rico motherfucker.
What is
going on with this guy?
I don't know.
He's sitting there and he's like, is he fucking playing a character or not? Or is this just how
he's gotta be? He's gotta be.
He's sitting there like fucking with this shitty Uncle Rico van, like doing curls and shit. What is this guy's deal?
I don't know.
And wrestle, and David Arquette wrestles in this backyard, and there's only like 10-15 people there, but there were some people who had no idea he was there. Because when they're like WCW champion, people even, like in the crowd, I use that term loosely, they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's some people that are actually hot there.
Those guys are a bunch of fucking idiots, so I just want to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, teach fucking David Arquette about wrestling. You're like, okay, dude. Okay, fat fuck who got the night off from your job at Quiznos. Go fuck yourself.
No, you're not. Yeah, it's like he needs to be doing this like we do this every day. I've missed, like, backyard wrestlers. I've missed Christmases. I've missed Thanksgivings. Like, fuck you, you loser. You didn't miss nothing. Most you might have
missed. That guy. Well, that guy later too. I was like, who is this guy? Is he really wrestle on Christmas? I'm talking more of the dudes in the actual backyard.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. No, those were different guys. You're right.
Like, you taking the night off from your fucking job at Taco Bell to go and shove light tubes up your buddy's ass. It's a fucking bunch of shit, dude. Fucking bounce on your boy's dick with glass tubes up your fucking ass. Get out of here. But yeah, I thought it was great. And it was cool to see like how the wrestling community embraced him last year. Good shit.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see that everybody really rallied behind David Arquette. You know, like, by all means, the guy probably needed it, like, in a really bad way. Yeah. You know what was really alarming to me, though? How much his new wife looks identical to Courtney Cox.
Yeah, no shit.
It was like, oh, buddy, like, you don't think she knows? Like, your wife doesn't notice this? Like, fuck.
She did the Miss Elizabeth thing at the end. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I did, too. I was like, good on you, man. Like, keep her.
Yeah, that's good. But I don't know. I think that's about all I got, man.
Yeah, I don't really have much else. I really don't have much else indeed. But I was so stoked because, like, I knew Bill and Ted was coming out yesterday. That was on my list of things to do anyways. But when you sent me the David Arquette thing, I was like, oh, good. I thought that was in like a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was cool to have like a bunch of shit to watch yesterday.
Yeah, and now it's gone. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to playing Project Cars 3 came out this week.
I'm gonna go back to playing NHL.
There you go.
Oh yeah, no. You know how you talk about like EA and how you play like these sports games and you start off shitty, right?
Yeah.
I have started off shitty. My character is still a shitty rating. But I was also injured for 20 games. So everybody else is at about 70 games, I'm at 50. And I'm 10 points away from number 1. I am the man.
You're lucky you're so far away. I'd be sucking that dick off already.
Goddamn right, baby.
So God impressed right. Over here.
You fucking puck bunny.
A lot of gay shit to end the show.
Give your balls a tug, you tit fucker.
I think that's going to do it. I have nothing else.
I really don't either, honestly. I've just been mirandering, whatever the fuck, mirandering around for the last, like, 15 minutes.
I've just been gerrymandering around.
Oh, fuck.
I've just been money laundering around. Good shit. I think that is going to do it.
I think so.
Do you have anything else to add before we depart?
I don't believe. If I remember something, I'll let you know.
Great. Well, on that, we thank you very much for listening, supporting the show, buying the merch, donating on Patreon, just interacting on Twitter, joining the Facebook group to bullshit, all that. Much love. So that's going to do it for this week. Until next week. May you get all the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you. And be excellent to each other.